WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, February 9th. Coming up, across the U.S., rural communities don't have enough doctors. We'll look at efforts to boost the pipeline of rural physicians. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker today intends to announce plans to lift the indoor mask mandate that's been in place since August. A source tells WBEZ in Chicago that the order pertains to bars and restaurants and retail establishments, but the governor is not expected yet to lift masking requirements in schools. Many school districts in the state have lifted their mask mandates after a court ruling in Sangamon County last Friday that said the governor overstepped his executive authority by requiring masks in schools. The governor and attorney general are appealing that ruling. Meanwhile, COVID-19 hospitalizations in the state have dropped by 64% over the last month. A bill to protect possible victims of sexual harassment and assault has passed the U.S. House and now goes to the Senate. The Ending Forced Arbitration of Sexual Assault and Sexual Harassment Act was proposed by Democrat Sherry Bustos of the Quad Cities. She spoke Monday on the House floor.
My bill would make it illegal to enforce agreements that mandate third-party arbitration, which is a type of legal dispute resolution that is conducted behind closed doors and often favors the employer.
Bustos says millions of Americans are subject to this legal clause at their jobs and in many other contracts. Her bill has widespread bipartisan support and could be voted on by the Senate this week. 2 weeks after Champaign teachers voted to allow a potential strike, one parent is experiencing deja vu. Amy Dunn was in sixth grade in 1986 when negotiations broke down between Homer teachers and their school board. Teachers went on a strike that lasted 8 months, possibly the longest teacher's strike in U.S. history. Now Dunn is a parent to a Southside Elementary fifth grader. She says the tone of the Unit 4 board's statement about the teacher vote worries her.
I had this chilling moment of like, this is just like the teacher strike I experienced, kind of how it started, with an arrogance and, drawing a line in the sand. And that's really what has upset me.
Unit 4 announced after the teacher vote that the board was disheartened and that its contract proposal focuses on underserved students. Since then, the district has repeated that the board will continue to bargain with the teachers' union in good faith. Dunn is vowing to do whatever she can to prevent a strike. She plans to support teachers in board meetings and in emails to board members. The union vote does not necessarily mean a strike will happen, but allows union leaders to go through the proper legal steps to call for one. Champaign County health officials have reported another death from COVID-19. This patient was in his 90s. He's the 267th county resident to die due to COVID. Health officials reported fewer than 150 new COVID-19 cases in the county yesterday. The number of active cases is just under 500, the lowest case count since early November. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 83 patients hospitalized with COVID-19, the lowest total since mid-December. 8 of those patients are in the ICU. Meanwhile, Coles County has announced 2 additional deaths from COVID-19. That brings the death toll in that county to 158. Still to come, we'll look at efforts to increase the number of doctors in rural areas where there's been an increasing shortage. That story from Steph Whiteside is coming up next on 217 Today.
Ailey, a new film from American Masters, is a portrait of Alvin Ailey, the trailblazing choreographer who founded an influential dance studio at the age of only 27. The director creates a biography that connects Ailey's past to our present. It's a portrait of an enigmatic artist whose search for truth leads him to center his choreography on the Black American experience. You can watch now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Across the U.S., rural communities don't have enough doctors. In southern Illinois, one medical school hopes to boost the pipeline of rural physicians. Side Effects Public Media's Steph Whiteside takes us there.
It's Thursday morning and a handful of second-year medical students are in a cadaver lab. They gather around their anatomy professor, Jonathan Crimsier, who hands each student a human brain dripping with preservative. Crimsier uses his tweezers to point out different parts of the brain.
Pons, medulla.
The med students are part of a new program run by the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Carbondale. It's known as the Lincoln Scholars Program. The goal is to train up-and-coming physicians to work in rural areas. In Illinois, rural communities have almost 50% fewer physicians per capita than urban areas. This follows national trends. Second-year student Madison Funneman grew up in a rural town with just over 6,000 people, so she's seen the rural doctor shortage firsthand.
You look around, we have one hospital. Doctors are far and few. You can just tell the need is so, there's such a high need for doctors in rural areas.
The shortage leaves residents in rural communities struggling to get the care they need. Former U.S. Health and Human Services Director Eric Hargan says the fact that medical schools are often located in larger metropolitan areas is part of the reason it's difficult to recruit physicians to rural communities.
So people, if they're trained in a rural area, many times they stay there. But if you end up sort of sending them to a city to have them trained, they may start out in that city, and they're kind of lost to the rural system.
The problem is, rural areas don't just lack family practice doctors. Shortages are particularly stark when it comes to specialists. That means primary care doctors in rural areas need to be adaptable, able to fill in the gaps when specialists are either not available locally or patients aren't able to travel to them. Dr. Jennifer Rose leads the Lincoln Scholars Program. She says on top of all those challenges, the job can be a bit lonely.
It can be isolating to be a physician in a rural area. And so building that support and that networking to reach out to others when you need help, because you can't necessarily refer that patient to another physician without impossible hoops for that patient to jump through.
Rose says hands-on experience in rural clinics right off the bat let students know what they will face after graduation.
We let them get here, figure out where the bathrooms are, and they start delving into clinical medicine right away.
Funneman says she chose Southern Illinois for med school so she could stay close to home, and she's glad she got a chance to immediately dive into clinical work in a rural setting her very first year.
And being within these rural areas, very small areas, you see a lot of different things and a lot of people working in unison. So you're not just working with doctors, you're working very close with PAs, nurse practitioners, and you get that interprofessional work that's really valuable.
Funneman says she hopes to return to her own community when she graduates and become a primary care doctor like her father.
That community kind of shaped me, and I want to give back to them the way that they gave to me, and so that's the whole reason I'm doing this.
Students in the Lincoln Scholars Program aren't required to work in rural areas after they graduate, but the hope is that many of them will choose to stay. Med school programs won't be able to fix the immediate healthcare staffing crisis caused by COVID-19, but they may be able to help boost the pipeline to ensure rural communities are better prepared for whatever the next public health emergency may be. I'm Steph Whiteside, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a chance of light rain or flurries late in the day and a high of 40 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Michelle O'Neill, Emily Hayes, and Steph Whiteside. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.